Today here on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley points out how believers have a hope that must be passed along to others.
When you have Christ who has come inside you as light, it's like you're a glass vase inside of which is a flame and is the glory of the Lord and is light. And that others who are dying, that they will see light in you and say, hey, when I get around you, I see things I never saw before.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Every time you turn on a light switch, you see a powerful spiritual principle demonstrated right before your eyes. The instant light comes on the scene, darkness is chased away. Today, Pastor Ray points out our job is to bring the light of Christ to a world that can't find its way.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and the title of the message is Walking with God. And we've come to the practical side of this letter that Paul wrote to Ephesus and that the Holy Spirit is writing to the church. And what does it mean to walk with God? Paul says basically two things. To walk with God means to walk in love, and secondly, it means to walk in the light as opposed to the darkness. Now, verse 3, Paul now gives the negative side of what it means not to walk in love. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. So here's what it means to not walk in love. Now, Paul was writing to a church that was in the midst of a Roman pagan culture, a very sensual culture, and a culture that was, beyond even where we are now, although it seems like we are moving. We never seem to stay the same, and the direction that we are moving is more backwards than it is seemingly forward. So there are some similarities between that culture that was in ancient Ephesus under the Roman Empire and even some of the very topics and issues of concern for the world today. And they have more to do with the external aspects of sensuality than they have to do with the heart. And so Paul, I have a translation here, and I like to read the Bible in different translations. I've got New King James, I've got King James, I've got New American Standard. Then there's this one called The Message. And The Message is a very interesting translation of the Bible. There are some that are like word for word from Greek or Hebrew into English, and you try to get exact as you can there. But sometimes in translating from language to language, word for word can lose something of the meaning and essence, because in every language there are idioms, ways of communicating things. For instance, you're trying to teach someone from a foreign country English, but then you want to share with them an expression that we have, like, whoa, that's off the wall. So they get their little English dictionary, off of the wall, and that doesn't mean, they don't know what that means. So that's an expression that we have, that something is kind of crazy. And so it's an idiom. Anyway, I say that because that's what The Message is. The Message takes the language, the ideas, the idiom of both Hebrew and Greek, and puts it into modern English, and it just gives you a different flavor. So I've put this into your notes here. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, Christians have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our lifestyle. Thanksgiving is our dialect. You know, our words are so important. The Bible says, Jesus said, that one day, not that we're going to be judged for this, because that judgment was already passed out on the cross. So salvation is a gift. But having received the gift of salvation, and then now as we're all adopted into the family of God, there is coming another kind of judgment, which is a reward ceremony, if you will, for our lives and for the works of our lives, the deeds of our lives. And Jesus talks about every idle word will be examined, everything that you say. It is also interesting that in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, salvation itself literally comes by confessing with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So there is where that it's almost like the opening of life. You know, you think of resuscitating life, CPR, when someone is incapacitated and they need breath to live. And so God comes and the Holy Spirit comes and to breathe life into our mouths. So I say all of that just to say that our mouths are very much our words that we communicate, a reflection of who we really are. It's not like when I die and go to heaven, then I'll be this heavenly person. He says, right here, right now, you're already a citizen of the kingdom of heaven now. And there is going to come a day that could be embarrassing where you're going to give an account for every idle word that you speak. So why not now start speaking things that are edifying, that are true, that are healthy? He's not saying that you can't talk in a silly manner. I mean, the context here is within a sensual realm and joking about those things. Paul says that's not becoming of one who walks in love. And so he says in verse 5, now this is interesting. He says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Paul says, you know, this worldliness, yes, we live in the midst of it. Quite honestly, I wish that the moment that a person gave their life to Jesus Christ and said, okay, I acknowledge, I admit, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and boom, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. I wish that immediately we would just disappear and go automatically to heaven. I think that that would be the best. Wouldn't that be great? But he says, no, I'm going to leave you down here for a while. And I'm going to work with you and work upon you. And in fact, there's some lessons I'm going to teach you here that will prepare you for when all the glory is finally revealed and the curtains are pulled back. You're going to need to be prepared in your heart to share with the power and the glory that are going to be yours, that you will inherit. So there's going to be some pain and suffering. And in fact, the best way that Jesus could describe it is that you're going to have to be carrying, as it were, your own cross. You see, there comes a moment in time where the world and this worldliness that is all focused on the outside. Jesus put it this way, the world lives for this. What should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? They're totally consumed with outward physical things. And they totally ignore the inner needs of the heart and of the soul. So if you live only for the outward things, the problem is it never satisfies and it never obviously fills the hole that's on the inside. So you're caught in a trap. That which initially satisfied me doesn't do it anymore, and so now I need more. And so the accumulation of things or the vulnerability to addictions or whatever in the flesh, it grows exponentially out until finally you're lost. Whoever you were is totally lost on the inside, and you're now a slave to these external pressures, demands, desires, urges, etc., and you're trapped. And at a certain point along the way, those who I believe who are here are coming and saying, you know what, I've been down that road, and I got tired of that road, and I was lied to by that road and deceived by that path, and it left me empty, and the day that I cried out for help, it mocked me. So I turn around and I open my heart to the Lord Jesus, and I'm following him and I am seeking him and to walk in his spirit. And what I need is now something that's far deeper and emotional and in my soul and in my heart and in my spirit, and the Word of God feeds me. Now, the Bible says that there is coming a time at the end when judgment will come. The world, if you read the book of Revelation, the world is ultimately headed, it will harden its heart more and more and more and more. This happened one other time in human history where it finally got to the point, literally, where every human being had given themselves over, as it were, to the world and to the flesh and to selfishness and to greed and evil. And God said, well, I'm going to have to start over. And there was one family, and he preserved him, and his name was Noah. The Bible says that the same thing will happen one more time. And it will be as it was in the days of Noah. Eventually, ultimately, the world will get to a place where it is totally anti-Christ. It's just against, you know, Jesus and the gospel and the Bible and these, what they perceive as religion and rules. They don't want it. And so God will say, okay, you don't have to have it, but judgment will come. Paul is saying that we're not part of that world that is headed toward judgment. We need to walk in a different way and in a different path. Verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them. And then beginning in verse 8, the second thing he says, okay, we want to walk in love. We see that walking positively in love is forgiveness. Negatively is to avoid the things of the world. Now he says, walk in light. And in verse 8, he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I love what this says here in verse 8. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, for you were once in darkness. But he says, you were once darkness. He doesn't say, but now you are in light. But he says, you are light. You are light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Now, here's a definition. What does it mean to be light? Goodness. Jesus went about everywhere doing good. Righteousness. And that's not self-righteousness. It's doing what is right. Right before God, right with one another, right in our relationships and in the truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The biblical perspective is that the world at large is walking in darkness. Okay, now think very simply with me. What does it mean? Imagine 6 billion people walking the planet, walking around with their eyes closed. Let's look at it physically. If suddenly the whole world, every single human being, were struck blind, what would happen? It would be chaos. We'd be bumping into one another, hurting one another, if every single person was blind. Spiritually, that is the case. And so what happens, the reason for wars and murders and abuse and the violence, and we read of these things, what in the world is going on? It is proof, it is evidence that men are walking in darkness. Walking in darkness, and therefore they're stumbling, literally trampling over one another as human beings. But now in the midst of this dark planet, there are some who, it's like all of a sudden for you, when you come to Christ, who is the light, and he comes into your life, boom, there's a light is turned on. And you go, whoa, there's light all around me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm not gonna walk there. Unless I want to hit my head on a 2x4. Not walking there. Look, there's a ditch over there, and there's people falling in left and right. I don't want to go into that ditch. I see the path. You see through Christ. You see through his word. And the world is stumbling around in darkness. And they're looking for when they see you or they get around those who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ and you walk in love and you're different. We don't have to so much try to fit in with the world. I think that the world in many ways is looking, is there anything different? Is there anything else? Is there another way to live than the way that we are living? Because the way the world is working right now or the way the world is not working is really not good. It's the unfruitful works of darkness. And Paul says there, when you walk in the light, then it exposes certain things, they become evident and they become seen. And that's what Jesus, now, finally, in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 21, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He didn't say, I'm one of the lights of the world. He said, I am, which by the way, remember that original name that God revealed himself to Moses, I am, that I am. And then you read the Gospel of John. Did you know in the Gospel of John, seven times, seven being the number of perfection, seven times Jesus said, I am. And it would be an interesting study for some of you just to read through the Gospel of John, find out the seven things that Jesus claimed when he said, I am. One of those that he said, I am, is I am the light of the whole world. Now, let me just give you in closing, where and when did he say this? Because it's very significant. It was at a feast, one of the seven feasts of Israel called the Feast of Tabernacles. Once a year, all Jewish families were required to come to the city of Jerusalem and celebrate this feast called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. So imagine 2,000 years ago in Jesus' day, it is the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus and his disciples go, like all the other Jews, to Jerusalem. And what do they do? It lasts for 7 days, and so the families all go out and they build these little everybody moves out of their house, the family, for 1 week, the mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and all the kids, and they sleep outside for 1 week. It's a national week of camp. And they're instructed when they build their, they've got three sides on it, and then their roof has palm branches, and God specifically said, leave space, don't cover the whole roof. Leave spaces in the roof, because I want for the kids and for the parents, I want them to be able to see the stars. I want you to see the stars. I want you to sleep under the stars. Now, so you ask, or the kids would ask, Mommy, Daddy, why are we camping out? When they're old enough to start asking questions, and so here we are, why do we camp out for a week every year like this? And the parents say, I'm glad you asked that question. Let me tell you about your forefathers and mothers, how long, long, long ago, for 400 years, our ancestors were slaves. But God, the God who made the stars, raised up a man named Moses, and this man, Moses, set our people free. They followed him into the desert, into the wilderness, and underneath the stars, an entire nation, without a home, without anything, they carried everything upon their backs. They were totally dependent upon this God. And God, the one true God, the creator God, revealed himself at night, every night, visibly. Oh, Mommy, what did God look like? He looked like light. It was a column, it was a pillar of fire that stretched all the way to heaven and came down to the earth. And they could see it? Yes, they could see it. And then every day that pillar of fire became a cloud of fire. And they saw it. And so for 7 days they would rehearse the stories and tell how that, and then that glory came and Solomon built the temple, and that same glory of the Lord, that light came into the temple that Solomon built, and that's where we are now. There's the temple. Honey, that's where the glory of God dwells, and we are his people, and God has delivered us, and we love him. And then on the second night of Tabernacles, the priests would go out, and in fact, this is an interesting little side note, everybody would gather into, on the Temple Mount, the court of the women. And there they would all gather together, and the priests would sing and dance all night long, praising the Lord for leading them to Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, to worship him, that God had revealed his light and his glory. Now, I say all of that to say this. One year, as they're celebrating tabernacles, and by the way, they would light up these large menorah out in the Temple Mount that would light up all the Temple Mount and all the Judean hills around. It was beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. And the dancing and the singing and the music as they come together. On the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, where they were remembering the glory of God, Jesus stood up before the whole nation. And it was on that occasion that he then said, "I am the light of the world." That pillar of fire that led your forefathers, I am that light. That cloud, I am that light. That Shekinah that entered the temple that Solomon built, I am the light of the world. He that believeth in me shall never die. I am, here's another saying of Jesus, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So when you have Christ who has come inside you as light, it's like you're a glass vase inside of which is a flame and is the glory of the Lord and is light. And Paul is saying, so keep the glass clean. Don't get it full of mud and the filth of this world, but be clean that the light may be seen and that others who are dying all around us, falling into ditches every single day, that they will see light in you and say, hey, when I get around you, I see things I never saw before. And I want you to show me and tell me. And you then give them your testimony. It's like these, you know, young kids who are little surfing guys, and all of a sudden, hey, did you hear about Noah? Man, he's like totally transformed. Yeah, right. Is it real? It's way real. It's amazing. Let's go check it out. And God transforms lives. Amen?
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out the change that takes place when people open themselves to the transformation of the Spirit of God. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Walking with God. It's available on CD for just $7. Again, it's called Walking with God. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. And I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.